racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome back into the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Hi, I'm Bob Bupka, alongside St. Louis golf icon Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek. And Jay, season really has wound down now. In just a few weeks, we'll be headed over to Maui for the Century Tournament of Champions. If there was one tournament that I could wish that you would work alongside of me, it would be that one. Even though it would be tough on me because the amount of golf available, I know you'd be taking full advantage, so I wouldn't get to see much of you.
It's an incredible spot. You guys will be at the Kapalua Villas, Maui. Anybody that's been there is smiling because they remember their time there. It's a magical place. It's the kind of tournament where even as a spectator, you can get close to the players and potentially even have a conversation with them. It's a little bit more of a relaxed atmosphere. It's a special place.
Yeah, it really is, Jay. And still with our Grill Room ear to the ground, and we have talked about it previously on this show, we both agreed that it certainly would be a nice landing spot for Tiger to launch 2019. Nothing definitive to report, but I am hearing from fairly reliable sources that the possibility, as we speak, is a pretty good one, and it certainly makes all the sense in the world.
I'm hopeful. I mean, why not take the kids, take the girlfriend, and go enjoy a place where you had success and where your times just tore it up and had some classic battles? This might be the last chance he gets to go. I mean, I don't think so. I think he'll win a golf tournament next year, but I'm just saying. And I think it'd be good for the game. It'd be a great boost for the tour, the events in prime time. I hope you're right, Bob. I hope he does commit.
Well, you just brought up a great point. You know, you can't take this event for granted. And what Jay was alluding to is this is a winners only. You have to win on the PGA Tour in order to be eligible to play in the Century Tournament of Champions. So, yes, we both agree that Tiger will win again. But, you know, at 43, which he turns on, you know, the last day of this month, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees in life. So you're eligible to play this year. As Jay just said, why not take full advantage of it? I mean, I can't, you know, obviously we'd need Tiger on here to tell us the downside. He may have some valid reasons why he can't go. We can't see them. We can't hope to speculate on even what they might be. But if there's nothing pressing that allows him to go over there, both of us, and I think you agree with me, Jay, it's the right move for him to go play there.
Even if it's just to go get the rust off in a tournament format, in a setting, and then maybe be better prepared for Riviera. I just think it'd be tremendous. You know, a lot of people are saying Riviera will be the place where he plays because it's tied in with the charity. I like you, would love to see him there. And, it'd be good for the game.
Well, it really would be. And just think what it would do for the majors. All right, we're already juiced up about the majors. And they're, further away, well into next year before we get to April and the Masters.
Bob, you don't have to feel bad about being excited about the majors. I mean, when you look at, obviously, Augusta, which we know, the move to May and going to Bethpage, and when you have not only a major at Bethpage, a major in New York City, it's huge. Then you go to the U.S. Open at one of the most historic sites in the world, Pebble Beach, and then for the first time as the last of the four majors, you've got the British Open, and you're going to Northern Ireland and think where we've come in 30 years with, I mean, that would have never happened.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And a fascinating aspect, at the Ryder Cup this past fall while we were in France, and boy, a shout out to the people of France, what they're going through right now. I mean, it really is painful because the sights that we witnessed, the Eiffel Tower and all that stuff, so much turmoil going on, and I just hope that they can reach an agreement on that. But the point I was trying to make, during that Ryder Cup, we were informed about the Open Championship in Northern Ireland, as you said, at Portrush. There are no tickets available. That was a couple of months ago, Jay. Can you imagine? No tickets available. That's how excited the people are to go to Northern Ireland to watch an Open Championship. Just caps off four great majors this year, as you so well said. All right, we got to move along here, Jay. Things now are lining up for the 2019 season, certainly on the web.com tour. 135 players. Well, they made it to final stage of qualifying. It's been quite a journey.
Well, it's been quite a journey, but the story about this year's Web.com Tour qualifying, Bob, it was the scoring. I mean, let me just give you a statistic. This is somewhat staggering when you think about it. In 2013, just six Q schools ago, the cumulative field was 587 under par. In 2018, this year, they were 1,985 under par. There was a lot of reaction from people. Mark Calcavecchia tweeted out that courses should be more than a putting contest on the web.com qualifying. Ryan Hatala, who played for a long time on the web.com tour, maybe put it in the best perspective. Now, think about this out there. You shoot 17 under for four rounds, average under 68, and you don't get your web.com card. I mean, I think people were really taken aback that followed the game and guys that played the tour about how low this scoring was. Now, having said that, I mean, you know, Bob, you've seen it, how low they go on a regular basis on the web.com tour anyway. So should that be should it be a barometer of how low you can go when the majority of web.com tour events are set up that way?
Well, there has been a progression, Jay, and you and I have used the Grill Room platform to voice this opinion. We've witnessed it in the majors where, know, and I think the major culprit is the people at Augusta National. They fell in love with the fantastic scoring on Sunday. It's more important for them to have birdies and eagles than to define the quality of player that should have the privilege of putting on that green jacket. And what that has done, I've seen influence to the USGA trying to make it easier. I've seen the RNA trying to make the Open Championship easier. I'm not convinced that the PGA of America hasn't fallen into that trap a little bit. And that's the trap of, well, people love to see birdies. They don't want to see bogeys. To me, and I think a lot of hardcore golfers that are the great listeners of the Grill Room feel the same way. What we want is a thorough examination. We want to identify the best players. We don't want a birdie fest.
Well, and I think our case at times is not necessarily in relation to score, but to, as you said, to the way it's set up. If a guy plays Medina number two, and it's playing a stiff test, but he has a phenomenal week and shoots 8 under par in a U.S. Open, and the next guy's 2 under, we understand it. But, I mean, when you look at how low guys went that didn't make the web.com tour, I mean, 17 under over 4 days doesn't get you a card. that's just wild. And part of it, we know, is the equipment, the athletic situation where these guys are different. And it's also the fact that now with the distance, so many courses are, I don't want to say obsolete, but are ripe for the taking.
Well, let's break down what happened at the Web.com Tour Finals. Danny Walker wins that final stage. 135 players teed it up in the final stage on two courses. It was contested out in the Phoenix area. The medalist, low score, fully exempt on the Web.com Tour, finishes 2 through 10. Jay get a start in the first 12 events and finishes 11 through 40, get a start in the first 8 events. So, you go through an awful lot of effort. So you finish, 12th, and you get to start in the first 8 events. Boy, you better make hay while that sun shines.
Well, there's no doubt about it. That's why winning, and as you said, that full exemption is like a golden ticket. I'm going to tell you, and I've been hearing about him, and some of the golf geeks know, the guy that finished second, Bob, Norman Jeong, who played at Oregon, a big-time stick. This is a guy that it wouldn't surprise me, if we're talking about him next year at the start of the wraparound tour as an exempt player on the PGA Tour because of where he finishes on the Web.com Tour. Keep that name in the back of your head. Norman Jeong, who finished second, He's going to be the real deal.
Yeah, and one other thing to take note, first Chinese player to qualify, Xinjun Zhang from China. And I'm glad I said that to you, not him. He might smack me. But anyway, first Chinese player, and we'll say next year probably, 5 Chinese players. And 10 years from now, it might be all Chinese players. Always weird stories coming out of Q School. How about Cody Blick? Jay wakes up one morning. Golf club stolen. Can you imagine? You're at Q School. It's the opportunity of a lifetime, and your golf clubs get stolen. Well, he got lucky. He put together some borrowed equipment and actually did pretty well.
He sure did. He went from 74th to inside the top 25, and they said, sir, here's your card. He jumped 49 places. That is, and that's one of the good stories from Q School. We have seen some of the disasters, and I know both you and I and Janice have been there that final day, and it's not fun being around that scoreboard.
No, it really isn't, and the ones I feel sorry for are the ones that, finish early, and they really have no idea what's going to happen, and they keep looking at the scoreboard. They go get a hot dog. They come back. They get another hot dog, and they're pacing around. They don't know what to do. They're right on the bubble, and then comes days in. Some walk to that parking lot with a huge sense of relief, and a lot of them walk to that parking lot, slam the trunk, and drive away with tears in their eyes.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
Well, Jay, as you well know, it's truly deep into the silly season now. QBE Shootout, team event. I think the tallest player and the shortest player, tallest being Kazire and the shortest being Harmon, teamed up. They won the event. This used to be the Franklin Templeton Shootout. It's its 30th anniversary. Big shout out to Greg Norman. Certainly has done a lot for the world of golf, and he's the main force behind this event. Pretty good event for Graham McDowell and Grillo, though, wouldn't you say, Jay?
Yeah, they were really on fire in that final round. And Grant McDowell, I saw a comment from him afterward. I mean, he was flat trying to win. He and Grillo, I mean, congratulations to the point guard, Brian Harmon, and the center, Patton Kizzery, for their win. I also thought, you know, Charles Howell III's good play continues. He played with Luke List. And, Bob, we had another one of those trial runs of a gal playing with the guys. Lexi Thompson and Tony Finau finished tied for seventh, finished seventh with a final round 65.
Yeah, and Lexi certainly played very well, said she thoroughly enjoyed the experience. Tony Finau, one of the nicest guys out there. I mean, you look at him, he looks about 21, 22. He's the father of five children and just an all-round good guy. Bryson DeChambeau, who we're looking forward to spending some time with at Maui. He has committed, and we'll have an opportunity to get him on the Grill Room. Looking forward to that. Well, time now to go over to the PGA Tour champions.
Bob, talking about that champions tour, Greg McLaughlin is departing for the World Golf Foundation, and Miller Brady has been named the president of the PGA Tour champions. He comes up through the ranks, as so many of them do, dating back to 1999 when he was then a special assistant to Commissioner Fincham. And for a few years, he joined the PGA Tour as a senior VP and chief of operations. So he knows what's out there on the Champions Tour.
Yeah, he certainly does. And I think the main thing there is the fact that he's no stranger to the sponsors.
And Bob's golf still going on. This week, it's the PNC Father-Son Challenge at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club in Orlando, a perfect place for families and a family affair tournament, Bob. To qualify, players must have won a major championship for the players, and their partner cannot hold the PGA Tour card. Star-studded field, you got 19 major championships won by these guys and 800 victories. Who are some of the players, Bob?
Well, everybody's waiting for the unveiling of John Daly Jr. Las Vegas has it even money that he's bigger than John Daly Sr. So.
I like that right there. The Dalys will be together. You got Stuart Sink playing with his son, Connor. The defending champions, the Argentinians, Angel Cabrera, and Angel Jr. Won in 2017, but they're not going to be able to play this year. You've also got Tom Kite and his son and Bernhard Langer. This is a great tournament.
Yeah, Jack Nicklaus is going to be there with his grandson, GT Nicklaus. I'm sure he'll get a lot of questions about that hole-in-one he made at last year's par 3 contest. Jack and you know, standing right there, you know, it's a thrill for a grandson to make a hole-in-one. It's a bigger thrill when your grandfather's Jack Nicklaus and he's watching. There's some newcomers that'll be playing this year. Darren Clark, Tyrone is his son. He'll be playing. Jim Furyk going to play with his father, Mike. Mike's the only teacher that Furyk has ever had. And then Matt Kuchar and his father, Peter. We remember the last time Peter was involved in professional golf. The other players didn't like it. He seemed to be, you know, having his pom-poms and cheerleading uniform on instead of his caddy bib. He was so enthusiastic about his son, Matt. We'll keep a look at that. And David Tom's going to be playing with his son, Carter. Lots of new names, lots of old names. Can't wait for it. Lee Trevino will be there with Daniel. And Greg Norman are going to be playing with his son, Greg Jr. So, as you accurately pointed out, Mr. Randolph, certainly a star-studded field.
When we come back, we'll have Bob's interview with Pete Charleston from Golf Logix from earlier this year. Interesting stuff from Golf Logix next.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Don't forget, if you'd like to drop us a line or give us your thoughts or opinion on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you want to send a couple $100, go ahead. But we're talking about contacting us via Twitter. I'm STL Golf Geek on Twitter, while Bob, the VOG, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, VOG. Check us out on Twitter.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Time to work on your putting a little bit. Bob had a chance to talk to the president of Golf Logics earlier this year.
Joining us now in The Grill Room, Pete Charleston. He's president of Golf Logics. He has a app that really can help your golf game. I'm like stunned, Pete, and I'm so happy because your app helps improve performance on the golf course, and you're adding to that app with something that's called Putt Breaks. Could you explain to our listeners first what you had previously and what you're adding?
Well, first of all, we started this company way back in 1999, and we were the first golf group to do a handheld GPS device. We partnered with Garmin, and we marketed directly to the golf courses. And as the USGA changed their stance in 2006 and allowed electronic measuring devices, we said, let's go sell at retail. So we went at it really hard, and we were really successful, gotten all the major retail outlets. And right at our peak in 2008, the first smartphone came out with GPS on it. And we're like, man, why would someone pay $300 for a device when they could, have their own device, their phone, and just have an app on it? And so we were the first company to do an app for smartphone. So we've been helping people out on the golf course. We give GPS distances to the front, middle, back of the green, to carry distances to hazards. We give a 3D image of every hole that you play, so you can see all the dog legs and what to aim for, what to try to avoid, and we keep track of your scores and stats. And we've done all that, and we've been best in breed. We've had over 4 million downloads, and we're always striving to try to come up with the newest, latest, greatest thing. And that latest, greatest thing, which we've been working on for 2 years, is called Putt Breaks. And we figured out how to mimic what the PGA Tour pros are using on tour with these green books. It's like having a caddy kind of whispering in your ear, hey, it's a little bit downhill and it's going to the right. So it's a very, very cool technology.
It's pretty amazing the timing of this, because those green books have been in the news. The governing bodies are talking about them, even possibly banning them. But that's for professional golf. What you have here is going to help the amateur golfer, and like you say, very few players that take caddies. So what you have really, as you accurately said, can replace a caddy.
Yeah, or help a caddy. I mean, it's like the number one thing is the amount of rounds that are played with caddies in this country are ridiculously low. People just don't have that advantage. And the reality is most people can't read greens. And I'm one of those people. I didn't start playing golf till I was 30. So I don't immediately walk up and look at this putt and go, oh, yeah, I see that. The grass is growing this way, or I can see the hill going. I mean, it's just tough for me. Although I'm a good putter, I don't see that read. And that was part of our motivation here. And just to help out that average amateur golfer, to give them that confidence. And when you walk up to a putt, and we all have it, when you know for certain that you have the read, how much better do you putt, that confidence level you have when you take that stroke of the ball, right? I mean, both of you guys, you know, it feels so good when you know you have the read. You may not always make it, but you know that at least it's going left to right instead of right to left.
We're talking with Pete Charleston, president of Golf Logics. The main question I have, I'm sure I know the answer, but I want our listeners to hear it coming from you. The initial concern would be it's going to take longer for players to complete playing a hole using your putt breaks. But after thinking about it, it's probably going to take less time, and that ultimately is going to speed up rounds, which is marvelous.
Exactly. And you know, the first, we're on version 3 already. We came to market kind of a soft launch, kind of September, October of last year. And then we launched another version in the spring, and then we launched another version this summer. So we're constantly trying to make it easier and faster to use. With any technology or with anything in life, you know, it does take a little time to learn it. More importantly, this is a change in your routine, right? I mean, now you've got to bring a phone to the green, which you may not be used to. But once you've played a round or two, I'm going to make the argument that you're going to play faster in two ways. One, and we all play with those people that have to look at the putt from the back, the side, the other side, the backside, you know, and then they're walking circles and they're talking and, you know, you're going, my God, man, just putt the ball. And this eliminates all of that. I mean, you literally walk up behind your ball. You're looking at the green, and you literally draw a line from, you're staring at the green in the direction that you're looking at the pin. And you put your finger on the screen and you draw a line towards the pin. And then it zooms in and shows you the arrows of what that putt does, uphill or downhill and side to side. So you will never misread a putt again. And so at the very least, what we're trying to eliminate is that dreaded three putt. You know, if you know that the putt is definitely on the left instead of on the right, at least you're not misguessing and then hitting it the 5 feet by it on the wrong side of the hole, and then you miss and you three putt. And you're like, gosh, I did it again. So I think over time, this will definitely help speed up play and generate more fun with the golfers out there.
Well, it certainly has me excited. I can really see the benefits of this. Pete, tell our listeners how they can take advantage of what you're offering.
Well, we like to say we put our money where our mouth is, and we provide a free 30-day trial to all of our features. No strings attached. You don't have to sign up beforehand and then cancel a membership. Literally, you go to the Apple App Store and search for Golf Logics with an X, or you can search for Putt Breaks, or you can go to the Android Play Store. Either way, you know, you go in, you download the app, you sign up and register for free, and then the first time you go to a course that has Putt Breaks available, it'll ask you if you want to start your 30-day free trial. And at the end of that 30-day free trial, if you loved it, great. You can sign up for one of our membership plans. And if you don't love it, you still get to keep our app, and you're going to get distance to the center of the green. You're going to get 3D imagery of the hole, and you're going to still get to keep track of your scores and stats all for free for life. So it's kind of a no-lose proposition. It's so easy. You just put it in your hand, and you walk on the green, and you get your read. You still got to putt the ball. You know, we're not helping you make that putt, but we're giving you that caddy experience.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Good stuff with Pete Charleston, the president of Golf Logics. And as we continue to talk about technology, don't you know that it's happened in the sunglass industry? When we come back, Bob will chat with David Feaser of Peak Vision Sunglass.
Capital of Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Capital of Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the Ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the Bay Villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Joining us in The Grill Room at the moment, David Feaser, CEO of Peak Vision. And let's begin with the obvious, David. First off, thanks for joining us. But let me ask you, what are Peak Vision sunglasses?
Well, Bob, thank you so much for having me on. Peak Vision sunglasses were created to end distortion in sunglass lenses. And in the process of doing that, they developed basically a sunglass that has extreme clarity and a patented dual zone lens, which will allow you to track your drive with the neutral gray upper that fades into a high contrast amber on the bottom, 60%, and that provides three times the visual information than your naked eye, so you get an impeccable read of the green. And basically, they are the sunglass, Bob, that you don't take off when you putt.
Well, that's a pretty good endorsement to begin with. Obviously, there are many different styles of frames, probably for different sports. Which ones are most favored by golfers?
Well, right now, our flagship is the GX5, and that is the quintessential golfing wrap. It's an 8-base curve, so it gives you great peripheral coverage, and it is the one that's preferred about 70% of the time by golfers. But like you said, Bob, there's a lot of different other styles that we have, some lifestyle glasses, some aviators, wayfarers. We do have another real nice sports wrap too, the LX2. So we have, you know, some different ones that cover people in different situations.
I got to ask you this, and we're speaking with David Feaser, CEO of Peak Vision. How do these differ from other sunglasses, and why should somebody wear Peak Vision?
Well, the first thing that we do is we use a proprietary lens material, which basically, Bob, gives you the same clarity as crown glass. So this is on the Abbey rating of clarity. It's a minus 52, and it starts, so when you put these glasses on, everything is extremely clear through them, and you have no distortion in the lens anywhere that you actually look through the lens. And this is an 8-base curve, so it is a very good curve that goes around the side of your eye. And the dual zone lens that I told you about before just makes the green pop. And it does not in any way take away from the beauty of your outside surroundings and the nature that you're wanting to be out there in all day long anyway, because we love being out on the course. But it enhances your ability to putt, and you don't have to take them off, which is huge because people don't realize your eyes have to adjust, Bob, during that time. And that causes you not to have the best putts in the world.
I have to ask you probably the most important question. What about protection from ultraviolet rays?
All of our glasses feature the same lens and the same lens coatings. You have full coverage of UVA, UVB rays, and you also have an RX filter on the back of the lens that's close to your eyes, so it actually filters light that comes from behind your head and banks off your lens. A lot of people don't realize most of the UV rays that you're getting if you're wearing sunglasses are banking off the back of the lens and still entering your eye. This has an RX filter on it, so it just stops UV in all directions.
Well, what about Polaroid lenses? Are they different? And do golfers get the same clarity?
Actually, we advise not to use a polarized lens on the golf course. Polarized is a great lens to have, but it's a functional lens for certain situations. Polarization will basically flatten an image that you're looking at, and then it will also skew your depth perception of that image. And so then for that reason, we basically say do not wear a pair of polarized unless you're going in a fishing, a water situation, or a ski situation where snow and high glare are at. Now, under those conditions, polarization is excellent.
Our special guest in the Grow Room, David Fiza, CEO of Peak Vision. I know your headquarters are located close to Myrtle Beach, probably the golf capital of the South. I also know that a pretty prestigious event is held down there, the World Golf Amateur Championship. Are you involved with that?
Yes, actually we are. We sponsored the World Am here. The folks down here that put on the Myrtle Beach World Amateur, it's a phenomenal tournament for amateurs. It's the largest in the world. I think there's close to 4,000 golfers in it. And it's held at, I think, somewhere in the upwards of 72 courses or something in the area. It's mind-boggling how big it is. But they come together, and every night they meet in the Myrtle Beach Convention Center for what's known as the 19th hole. And we're actually there, and we're participating. We're actually giving the top winning two flights a pair of Peak Visions for free.
Well, I'm sad to say the 19th hole's the one I play the best lately with my golf game. But, David, speaking of golf games, a dear friend of mine by the name of Chip Beck, also known as Mr. 59, he told me Peak Visions are the only sunglasses he's ever played because there's no distortion on the putting green. And Chip is certainly one of the more respected guys ever to play professional golf. That's quite an endorsement from Mr. Beck.
You know, I met Mr. Beck in January of, 2017 at the PGA merchandise show. And we got talking, and he told me how much he absolutely loved the glasses. He said exactly that same testimonial to me. And then the light kind of went out of his eyes, and he said, but I can't wear anything anymore. And I said, Chip, what's going on? And he said, you know, with me being out in the sun for as many years as I was and still am, I have small lesions on my retina. And it, when I put a pair of glasses on, it distorts stuff. And he said, I just can't wear anything anymore. And I handed him a pair of GX5s, and it had been quite a while since he had had a pair of Peaks on, and he put them on, and he looked like a kid in a candy store because his eyes lit up, and he's flipping them up and looking through them, and he's like, there's absolutely no distortion. I can't believe this. I can still wear these. And he was just so excited, and that kind of started off a very nice friendship with our company. And as you know, Mr. Beck is an extremely gracious, great guy, and he was very gracious enough to give us his testimony, and he didn't want a single thing for it. He told me, he said, these are best glasses I've ever had in my life, and I'm more than willing to give you my testimony.
Wow, you can't beat that, but certainly
no.
Doesn't surprise me with Chip Beck. As we let you go, if people want more information on Peak Vision sunglasses, is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, they can go to our website. It is simply peakvision, all one word, .com, and it's peakvision.com. We'll be glad to help them out and get them a pair, and we offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, Bob. We believe in our product, and, you know, we stand strongly behind it.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.